That included all everything that people are calling new now, the secret and manifesting and it's all being created. You know, I got involved in that 30 years ago. It's not new to me at all. And so from being in it for 30 years, there's another level I'm working at, because I learned that you can indeed manifest and you can indeed attract and you can indeed focus on stuff. But if your mind's still screwed up, you're still not going to have a good time. I don't know how to break it to you, but if you haven't dealt with your fundamental dysfunctional issues around guilt, anger, grievances, you know what I'm saying, and blaming and the past, then all you're going to do is just manifest things to still feel the same way in, or things to still hurt yourself through. So it's great to manifest, and it's great to you know, want to have all those things, and it happens. You know, I proved that to myself. I was able to practice those principles and manifest things beyond my wildest dreams. And I proceeded to screw it all up because I hadn't dealt with my own issues of worthiness in a lot of ways. And also, it just became another way to empower my ego. I got more and more about, oh, I create my own reality. So then my reality just became Earl thinking of his fantasies that he'd like to see happen, taking all of his energy to try to manifest his fantasies, and then being upset with the people who didn't help me manifest my fantasies in terms of them acting out the roles that I had assigned to them in the acting out of my fantasy. So if the person didn't actually do the thing I thought they should do to help me have my fantasy, then I had to work on forgiveness. And I had grievances, and you didn't support me. As if the person was here to fulfill my fantasy. You know, I felt like that was basically what the whole world was for, to serve me. And the Course calls that a perceptual temper tantrum, which I think is a very obvious. So anyway, and I hadn't dealt with the issue of my relationship to higher power, God, the Creator, whatever you want to call it. You didn't create yourself. You did not create yourself. And you don't exist just because two people had good or not so good sex. Okay, I don't know how to break it to you. This is a deeper game than what we've been taught it is. A lot deeper game than what we've been taught it is. You know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. You are off at college. And the earth is the university, and it's got a hell of a big campus.
It does.
Okay, and the production values of this dream is far beyond our wildest imagination. Okay, and so we didn't come from here, and anybody that's in touch with who they really are knows we didn't come from here. And if we really came from here, do you think it would be such a struggle? Do you think it would be so insane? Do you really think it would be this much separation? Do you really think it would be this much pain and attack and struggle and all the things? Do you really think any kind of halfway intelligent God would have come up with what we are experiencing? That's why a lot of people don't believe in God. They look at this world and they go, well, it couldn't possibly be a God the way this thing is set up. And there is no God. The Course says, either you're insane or there is no God. Make a choice. And I said, well, either you're insane or there is no God. If there is a God, then you got to say, this is insane. This does not reflect any kind of divine intelligence. And I know you might say, well, everything is great for me. Well, it isn't about just you. And usually when... healing power in this class. Never mind if she could walk in when she came in. That don't have nothing to do with my healing power. Okay? All of y'all can see, right? This is powerful stuff. This is powerful stuff. But the Course in Miracles says we're completely blind. That we think we can see. It actually says if all you can perceive is the outside of things, you're blind. I went, what? Yeah, you just see the outside of me, the outside of the wall. We see the outside of everything. We have no perception of the inside. And so from a spiritual perspective, people who just judge by appearances are blind. When you focus on the outer and not the inner, you don't really know what's going on. So I went, that's interesting. He says, nothing is so blinding as the perception of form. And that's the truth. I used to make all my choices based on what it looked like on the outer. Mm-hmm. You know, and wasn't paying any attention to the content. So vision is being able to see the purpose of things. Vision is being able to see beyond the appearance to the inner. So I went, wow, that's deep. So the course was about teaching me how to surrender and listen and be taught by something that knows more than me. You may not realize, and it doesn't really matter if you do, because if it's the truth, you'll realize it sooner or later anyway. That's why it's okay to let everybody around you be where they are. Because if it's the truth, they're going to find out anyway. So you can just let go of the pressure you feel to change your mates, your friends, your parents, and everybody around you. You know, it's like, it's really a lot of truth to that statement, don't discuss religion and politics. Because they're just emotional, irrational issues that just create separation. So why discuss something? If you're not going to change each other's minds, I don't know anybody that's ever been a Democrat and then I could change them to a Republican in a conversation or a Republican. I bet you don't either. I bet you don't know one person that really had taken a stance in something that they really believed that talking to you made them go, you're right, I'm going to throw out my whole thought system. I'm going to do exactly what you're saying because it makes a whole lot more sense than what I'm doing. You know that doesn't happen. What you want to do is get clear about what you want to be true for you through your own inner work, then join with others who share your purpose so that you all can reinforce the ideas that you want to manifest together to get the people who are different and want to do it differently. They got a right to do it the way they want to do it. As a matter of fact, if what stops a person from attacking me is them thinking they're going to go to hell, I'm all for it. They can believe in hell. You know, that's it. Everybody's where they need to be. Some people are doing good because they believe they're going to hell if they don't. So fine. If that's what you believe, go for it. If it's going to make you not give me a hard time, the devil is waiting for you. I don't have a problem with people being wherever they are. And if anybody's here for the first time, I really want to, from the bottom of my heart, I am not trying to convert you. So you don't have to be here. What is he trying to get me to believe? I am teaching what I need to learn, trying to join with other people who want another way to look at it so we can go to another level. I am not one of those people trying to recruit anybody. The last thing I want is somebody with me who don't want to be. I've had enough of that. That's my relationship. Been there, done that. I'm trying to do it easy. So just take a breath, and just it's okay for Americans to take 5 minutes. And I want to ask you to breathe. I want you to just breathe. And I want to remind you that there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. You can just let go, the doctors will say. If you can just let go. The pain in your thought has kept you holding on. Commit to run and leap into what is real. Say what? rearranging these old facts of mine. Life, a new life is waiting. My heart is making an authentic appeal. Yes. Accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. You might say, that's hard to believe. I don't think I can be. It's okay. Some of the ideas may seem startling. You hear it and you go, what? You are not, I love this, is my favorite one. You are not asked to judge at all. I'm not asking you to judge me today. So please take your robes off.
My robe, did you say?
Your robe.
Oh,
your
robe.
Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. If you use it, this is coming straight from the course. If you use it, you'll see that it's true. There's a section I cover periodically that I think is my favorite one in the book. And so I try to make sure that I cover it every now and then just to keep it fresh in my mind. It's called The Judgment of the Holy Spirit. It's on page 215. I got a few loaner copies I bring out in case someone wants to follow up.
Yeah, okay.
The Course in Miracles says that a miracle is a correct perception. The Course in Miracles has its own definition of all the Christian terms that you see in the book. And it says a miracle is not parting the Red Sea from a Course in Miracles perspective. A miracle is a correct perception. Basically, it's saying, if you have a correct perception, it's a miracle. I love that. So I love the humor. People miss the humor of the Course. The Course is really funny. If you have a correct perception, he says it's a miracle. That's why it's called A Course in Miracles. So, and the Holy Spirit, the Course says, is just the part of you that's still in touch with the truth that created you. So the Holy Spirit is your loving right mind. The Course says the Holy Spirit is your sane mind. That all of us are born with one, but then we're taught insane lessons, and then we learn these insane lessons when we get here, and then we try to act out all of these unnatural lessons that do not reflect who we really are. We don't have total fulfillment, and we wonder what the heck is going on in our life, and we don't realize is that the reason why your life isn't working is because of your beliefs. It's just that simple. It's not really complicated. If your life isn't working, if it isn't working for you, because of your beliefs. If your life isn't working for you right now, it's because of what you believe. If your life isn't working for you right now, if there's any area of your life that you are not happy in, it's because of your perceptions.
Wow.
No.
Period. Can't blame anybody else. If you're not peaceful today, it's because of your perception. But the thing would just change.
No.
The worst thing they can do is change for you. Because if they change for you, they further convince you that your happiness depends on everybody around you changing, and so you just try to change somebody else next. Then you be trying to change your coworkers, then you be trying to change your boss, then you're going to try to change your sisters and brothers, then you're going to try to change your mother and father, then you're going to try to change society. As a matter of fact, you use the course that we use our mind to come up with everything that needs to change except us. So the truth is, the people who won't let you control them are actually doing you a big favor. And the ones who change for you are deceiving you into thinking that you have the power to control others. So all those people that you're upset with because they won't change for you. I had one of those, if my children would just change weeks. Anybody ever had one that's a parent?
I had one this week.
Yeah. Anybody had that lesson toward anything this week?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And did it change? So we're going to be grateful. They're forcing us to go within for our peace. And when you're really serious about learning, you give birth to your teachers. That way, you pretty much assure yourself You have unlimited opportunities to remember the truth. Isn't that wonderful? It's called family. You know, so anyway, so let's pretend that you have a God within you, a God within you, a spirit within you. Let's just pretend for today whether you have any kind of spiritual beliefs or not, that there may be something greater than you. And do this for us, just for a second. So we're going to talk about the judgment of a sane mind. The judgment of the part of your mind that knows the truth and how it operates. And it's in you, okay? So it says, you've been told not to make error real. And the way to do this is very simple. If you want to believe in a mistake, if you want to believe in someone's error, you would have to make it real because it's not true. If there's something about you that's not true that I want to believe, then I got to make it true even though it's not true. And so the truth, though, is real in its own right. I mean, the truth that our Creator created it is true in its own right. So a cool thing is to believe in the truth, you don't have to do anything.
Oh.
To believe in the truth. Isn't that startling?
Yeah.
To believe in the truth, you don't have to do anything. To believe in the truth, you do not have to do anything. To believe, you don't have to do anything. To believe in the truth. Like gravity is real at this level of consciousness. I don't have to get up this morning and say, let me believe in gravity so I won't float around all day in Denver. Okay? If it's true, it's true whether I believe it or not. If it's true, it's true whether you believe it or not. If it's true, it's true whether you believe it or not. If it's true, it's true whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. If it's true, it's true whether you believe it or not. If it's true, it don't have nothing to do with your beliefs. If it's true. If it's true, it's true whether you believe it or not. Everybody with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay, you are loved. You are valuable. You are powerful. You are unlimited. You are innocent. It's true whether you believe it or not.
Yay!
Right on. Right on.
Right on.
All right. The only one that's not cooperating in this is you. The universe can't wait to love you. You're the one that don't think you enjoy it, you know. Sometimes people recognize your light even when you don't see it shining. You know, that's been happening a lot to me lately, where total strangers have been saying, you know something about you. You know, and I pick you, just like a great person. You know, and I'm like, what? You know, and I didn't even think I was wearing the right color sweater. Because you know now, I can't be valuable unless I'm sharp. Isn't that right? That's what we do it now. You know we do. You know we do. You know, when you want to test somebody's love when you first meet them, let them see how you look when you first wake up in the morning. Just cut right to the chase. You know what I'm saying? You think you want me? Come over here about 8:30. Knock on the door. Then you come straight to the door when I get out of bed. And you'll see. You have to go straight for my inner beauty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you love somebody, they always look good to you. It's amazing. It's amazing how ugly a person gets when you don't like them. You ever had that happen?
Yeah,
they were like really beautiful to you, really look cool to you. And then all of a sudden you had an argument and you got upset and they hurt your feelings and you go, boy, that's a big mole on your face. And you never saw the mole before. And you might have just licked the mole, you know what I'm saying? He was like, you're so cute. Okay. If God was one of them lightning thunder gods, I would have been gone a long time ago. If it was lightning and thunder god, but my ego always said, he's just adding it all up to the end. That's why I claim Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wouldn't take no chances. So, but Jesus and I are cool. I had a problem with Jesus, the way I was taught about Jesus. But of course, the miracles changed my mind about that. But it's not necessary for you to believe in Jesus to benefit from the course. I just don't mind having a little extra help. I am not by myself. I didn't create myself, and I'm not the most intelligent being that exists. And if there are more intelligent beings, I feel like I'm intelligent enough to ask for them to help me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be at the top of the totem pole.
Yeah.
You know, most of us are so busy looking like this. Zeus seems to be on another level of consciousness below us, and how to deal with these people that seem like they're on another level of consciousness below us, that we forget to go, oh, there's something above, a level of consciousness above me that could help me. And that's what this is about. It's about how that level of consciousness works. So understand that you do not respond to anything directly. You do not respond to anything directly. You do not respond to anything directly. You respond to your interpretation of it. Okay, that's another law. Okay, so you're not responding directly to me. You may think you're responding directly to me, but you are not responding directly to me. You think you're hearing me. You think you're hearing me, don't you? You're not hearing me. You're not even seeing me. The truth is, you are responding to your interpretation of me. Check that out. So that means that there's as many Earl Purdy's as there are people sitting in this room. And I promise you, I'll be the Earl Purdy you see me as being. And then, okay, you're clear about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So nobody in your life is responding to you directly. They're responding to their interpretation of you, and then your interpretation of me becomes the justification for your response to me. If you interpret that I'm not good for you and I'm harmful to you, you're going to react to me as if what I'm saying is harmful to you. If you interpret me as being a really cool person that you feel blessed to be around, you're going to respond to me like, hey, girl, you're a really cool person that I feel blessed around. If you don't interpret me as being a cult leader, you're going to say, hey, I'm suspicious of this guy. You got to watch out for him. So notice, you're not responding to me.
Yeah.
You're responding to your interpretation of me, and that's true of everybody in your life. Okay? Okay, let's take it deeper. That's why analyzing the motives of other people is hazardous to you. Analyzing the motives of other people is hazardous to you. You need to be a little sign. Analyzing my motives is hazardous to you. Analyzing people's motives, that is hazardous to you. If you decide that someone is really trying to hurt you, or attack you, or desert you, or enslave you, you will respond to that person as if they've actually done so. I'll say that. I'm going to keep repeating. If I decide that you're trying to hurt me, I'm going to respond to you as if you've done that. If you walk in the room and it looks like you ignored me, I'm going to respond to you like you ignored me. The truth is, you almost had a car accident and you're just trying to get yourself back settled in when you walk in the door. But you know, it's all about me. So as soon as I decide what you're trying to do to me, then I'm going to deal with you as if you've done the thing I have analyzed and made up that you were doing to me, regardless of what you were really doing to me. Y'all getting the ramifications of this?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've made the error real. You've made an error, and you've made it real.
Wow.
Because if you haven't even had, like somebody who's just meeting me for the first time today, you've never had a conversation with me, how could you possibly have an opinion of who I am? It would have to be you interpreting who you think I am, and then responding to your interpretation as if you think it's true. And if you have an interpretation that's anything other than I am spectacular, then you are wrong.
Hey! Woo, we got a problem. We need to talk about it.
And if you think I'm great, you're a good judge of character. And your perception is correct.
Right.
And that's the truth. And it's not vain. I know me, and I know I'm a good person. It's not vain. It's the truth. I don't wake up in the morning trying to go, how can I manipulate everybody in my life and try to take advantage of them today and hurt them today? And I doubt if any of you did that either. So, we're good people.
Yeah.
I can see it really made about the house now. I can tell it moved this room, boy. You are a good person.
You just want my money.
And you're a good person. Do you work for money?
Yeah.
When you do your thing at the end of the week and you render your service,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you expect to receive? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Or would it freak you out if your boss said, you know, I thought you did a great job this week. We really appreciate it. See you Monday. Didn't give you any.
No.
There's something weird about when you're a spiritual teacher or you're a truth teacher, people actually hold it against you because you also have to have money in your life to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And they resent it.
Yeah.
You know, we can play a basketball player $100 million. Nobody cares. If they think a spiritual teacher is receiving anything, people go, It's rendering a service also. We live in the body, in the world, and at this level of consciousness, we do need things. I'm not any different than anybody else. So I have no self-consciousness about asking. But what do I ask for? What do you want to give?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anything fairer than that. So you receive as much as you feel like it's okay for you to receive. So regardless of what anybody else feels about my receiving, I have to feel like I deserve to receive. And I have to feel like I deserve to receive, not because of necessarily what I've done to earn it. I need to realize I deserve to receive because I'm a child of God. That I'm a part of an infinitely powerful creator. It has nothing to do with anybody else going, oh, Earl, we think you deserve to receive, and we think you don't deserve to receive. Well, we just heard here. If everybody's reacting to you according to their interpretation, and you make your life based on everybody else liking you, and you can't control other people's interpretations, you set yourself up. Because now you got to try to be a people pleaser and accommodate everybody around you so that they won't take away your support. So you become an inauthentic person. And you never give people a really honest expression of who you are when you think you're going to lose if you do that. So the more dependent you are on people, the less honest you are. You want to know, I can tell you who you're the most deceptive with. It's the person that's most special to you. I know who you hide from the most. It's the person who's most special to you. That's the person that you think about the most before you say anything. You're most concerned about what you do and how they're going to respond. That's the last one you tell after you tell your friends what's going on. If you think it's going to cause a problem in your relationship, you tell them the person you're special with, and I tell you the person who knows you the least.
Wow. It's true.
I've been there. You know it's true. It's true for all of us. Well, I tell my mate everything. You might tell them everything after you told somebody else. If it's really important, if you think it might be a danger to that relationship, you're going to be prone to compromise, to hold back, and not to share. There are always exceptions, but we know that's the truth. So you got to believe that you are lovable, and you deserve love, and you will receive love, and you will have companionship if everybody in your life leads you to be an honest, authentic person.
Yeah.
It takes guts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So when a person says, I want to be happy, I want to be myself, I want to know my power, I want to get in touch with God, I want to be happy, I want to do what I want to do every day, well, you're talking about an entirely different thought system from the one of the world.
Yeah.
And you deserve it. You deserve to get up in the morning going, oh my God, what's going to happen today? I feel really good. You know, what's this adventure going to happen to me today? I deserve to be happy. Oh, I'm going to see so many people that appreciate me. And that's what I'm siding with. That's what I'm here for. They say, you're right, you do deserve that. So every time you interpret somebody's mistake, you're giving it more power. And the ones I believe what I'm telling myself about Judy is true, I'm going to overlook the truth about Judy. Because I've decided what I believe about Judy is what's true. I've had people think that they know more about how I feel than I do. Blows my mind. I know you better than you do. Yeah. Are you out of your mind? Hell, you know me better than you know you. I'm with me. But haven't you heard that?
Yeah.
Haven't you said that? I know you better than you know yourself.
Yeah.
A sign of pure ignorance. If I tell you I feel good about you, and if I tell you I trust you, then I know how I feel about you. Now it's just a matter of whether you want to accept it as true. So if you don't trust me, it doesn't mean I'm not trustworthy. Hello?
Yeah.
If you all or anybody doesn't trust me, it doesn't mean I'm not trustworthy. If someone that doesn't like you or doesn't trust you, that doesn't mean you are not likable or you are not trustworthy.
Yeah.
That's just their interpretation of you. And since they believe that you are not trustworthy, they're going to overlook the truth, which is that you might be trustworthy. And then they're going to make their error about you the truth. And so they're going to overlook the truth. So the more opinionated the person is, the less they know about anybody around them.
It's true.
Oh, wow, yeah.
If somebody has never asked you questions about you, they already think they know you, and they've already interpreted you, and they judge you, and they put you up on the shelf. Oh, I know my son now. Boop. So I'll never ask my son, how do you feel? What do you think? What do you want? Where are you at right now? Do the people in your life ever ask you that? Or do they just assume they know you now?
Don't make me lie.
Then they wonder why they don't have new experiences of people. How can you have a new experience and an exciting experience of someone you've already interpreted and put up on the shelf and labeled? How can you have a new experience of me if you've already decided who I am and you're only going to let me express myself the way you think I ought to express myself? How in the world are you going to ever know me? So if you're bored with somebody, it's because you've already judged them.
I've done that with my children.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But you know something like I was saying earlier about, you know, going through the thing with your children and saying that they would change in some way, then you'd be happier. That's just a smokescreen for what's really going on, which is you're feeling guilty about something and you think you deserve punishment, so you're telling yourself something to make you feel bad. And that's just the latest thing you're using to make yourself feel bad. It really has nothing to do with the children. For some reason, I wanted to feel bad this week, and I thought I needed to not feel good about myself for some reason. So I just chose one of the buffet of things. Over here and then my kids would just can't go, you know, I can just get my boss tomato and, you know, just go that, I call it the buffet of hell. And we all know how to do it. We got our buffet. We know the people, we know the situation, we know the circumstances that we crucify ourselves through. As soon as we feel guilty or decide to feel bad, we head straight to those people, those things. We even pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
I think I need to be punished today. I'm going to call my mother. It depends on her. Or you go, zippity-doo-da, I feel really good about myself today. Let me call Doug. Because if I talk to Doug, I'm going to hear some cool stuff about me. You can tell how you decide to feel by the choices you're making to communicate that day.
That's so true.
Okay, a person that hears new thoughts, that wants to hear another way of looking at things, when they leave, they'll talk with other people who want to look at it differently or go read a book that's telling them how to do it differently. They'll reinforce. A person who feels frightened and threatened and they need to go back to the old thought system, they'll leave here and call somebody who will condemn everything that they heard today. Again, how you want to feel is a reflection of the choices you make in communication. Didn't the truth make you quiet? Notice everybody. Okay, that was one paragraph of A Course in Miracles. There are 1,122 pages minimum. That was one paragraph. Okay, we're going to go deeper. Any questions about what I've said so far before I go to the next paragraph?
Don't look at that.
My God, it's 1:45.
No, that.
You believe that?
No,
no.
Okay.
No. Mm-hmm. Where were you just reading from?
chapter 12, the Holy Spirit curriculum, page 215 in the text.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit further, even though the time is swiftly running out. That's why I do my advanced mind training seminars once every 2 months, for the very reason. Because I don't feel like I get a chance to get across what I'm trying to get across in the length of time I have to get it across. But it is from 10 to 3. That way people can sleep in the morning, still have the rest of their day. But we spend 5 solid hours of me doing practical applications of the ideas and sharing the ideas and discussing the ideas about how to apply it to every area of your life. And I do those once every month. And I'm doing one on the 29th of this month. It's $50 is the financial investment, which is nothing. Pair of shoes, a blouse, pair of pants, you know. And it's something you can use over and over for the rest of your life. And it gives me a chance to really relax and take my time and get the 28 years of teaching the course through to save people time. And it's a limited enrollment. If you want to do it, your name and your information up here at the tablet up front. If you go ahead and pay, that guarantees a spot. Even if you can't, but you know you want to do it, still sign up so I'll have some idea. Like, so we can get down. Okay. That was the commercial break. Now. That's the truth. Okay. The analysis of ego motivation is very complicated, very obscuring, and never without your own ego involvement. So in other words, you got to use your ego to analyze my ego. You got to use your fearful mind to analyze my fearful mind. You got to use your angry mind to analyze my angry mind. So you can't ever say anything about me that doesn't apply to you. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that people like to believe is that they can say something about somebody else that's not true about them, but they couldn't even see it in somebody else unless it was true about them. You don't even, if I'm full of love and peace, I don't even see anything about you to criticize. Because I don't have any critical perception going on in my mind. But if I see you as being critical, I've got to see it through my own awareness of being critical to even recognize your criticalness. If I say you crazy, I got to see it through my crazy to see your crazy. And people hate that. because one of the ways that we make ourselves feel special is to think that the characteristics of the person that we're judging has nothing to do with us,
right.
And that's the incorrect way to raise self-esteem, which the Course says we do, that we try to raise our self-esteem by seeing other people as being smaller than us, or we do it the opposite, we see other people as being greater than us and we're the ones that's got the low self-esteem. That's still a way to be special. So the Course says the whole process represents a clear-cut attempt to demonstrate your own ability to understand what you perceive. So when I walk into a room, I'm trying to demonstrate that I have the ability to understand what I'm looking at. So when y'all walked in, you went, I have the ability to understand what's going on here. And to prove to myself that I have the ability to understand what's going on here, I'm going to interpret everything and everybody in this room, and then I'm going to react to everybody in this room as if they're the way I have interpreted them to be, so that I can convince myself that I know what's going on. Say it again. Adults walk into a room, they're trying to convince themselves I'm an adult so I know what's going on. So when I come in and I interpret all of you, these are some pretty strange books. And I'm going to react to them as if I know that that's true, because I'm trying to convince myself I know how to understand what I see. Now when I say it, it's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? Because we know that. Isn't that what we do? I mean, when you walk in, don't you start interpreting everything and judging everything and saying what it is? The Course says that's for only one simple reason. The scariest thing for human beings to really realize is they don't know a damn thing. That is, you want to know the scariest thing for us to recognize is we don't know where we came from. We don't know what this is. We don't know what's going to happen later on today. We don't know each other. We don't know anything, but our judgment is based on the past and future learning experiences and what we're interpreting based on that. So we're really walking around in a world of our own making. We're in our own little separate private bubble of perception, thinking that our interpretations are the true interpretation, so we're really interacting all day long with people who are not there. You hear me? You were just relating to me in terms of your interpretation of who you think I am, and you don't really know who I am, then you react to a girl that doesn't exist. And then we wonder why we have problems in relationships with each other. But why am I judging you all? Because I'm trying to convince myself I understand what I see. Because if I think I don't, it's too frightening for me to think I don't know. So I got to make it up as I go.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is I'm interpreting you all based on what I went through in the past, what I learned in the past, and what was done to me in the past. So if I learn screwed up lessons that don't reflect the truth, and I got 1,000 dysfunctions and insecurity, then I'm interpreting you all based on all of that past mess. And so I'm dealing with you as if the mess in me is in you. I'm the one that's not trustworthy. I'm the one that's afraid. I'm the one that doesn't know how to love. So I project it on you all. You might hurt me. And then I deal with you like you might. But you could be the nicest person in the world, and I would never know it.
Wow.
This book is deep, you all. That's deep what I'm telling you. Because the ramifications of that is humongous. That means you've never met anybody you know. Oh, God.
Go deeper.
I won't even touch that. There are too many frightened people to joke with you. Okay. That's why you want to be around people, and I'm not saying it's not true, but I just said there are too many frightened people to joke with you. Because there's only love or fear. And whatever people feel guilty about is what they can't joke about. So the racist can't talk about racial issues. The person that got sexual guilt can't joke about sex. Okay, so whatever the person can't take a lighthearted approach to is where their guilt and fear is located.
That's good. I didn't know that.
The person that's bending over backwards trying to pretend they don't see that I'm a black man is the person with racial problems. Even though they tell themselves it means I'm very liberal. Because if you don't realize that I'm in a black body, you blind.
You were black.
What's wrong with you? I'm not getting in the car with you. You know I'm gonna drive me anywhere. If you don't know I'm black, you can't even tell what the traffic light is. Okay. You don't see color? You might run through the wrong light, kill all of us. I realize you're a black man, but it has nothing to do with who you are one way or the other in terms of loving you, appreciating you, being in touch with you. This is just the body I bought at the body store before I came here. I've had other body clothes. And then when you wake up, you realize that. This is your garment. And when it gets to a certain point, you do with this like you do with any garment. You give it away to the Goodwill.
Yeah.
Or you destroy it. You know what I mean? There is no one gazing at the body in a casket with more awe and wonder than the person who used to be in it. Yeah. Every age has a gift. 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 So don't be too busy focusing on the age you used to be to the point that you're missing the gift of the age you are now, because special powers and abilities come with every age. And your life is coming to you based on the age you are, not the age you wish you were. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The universe didn't set it up for you to be in pain and to lose. So wherever you are is a beautiful place for you to be. Whatever age, quote unquote, your body is a beautiful place for you to be. And you're aging your body by wishing you were some other age. Because it's a form of attack on your body, like something's wrong with it for being where it is.
Quiet.
Because what? Notice that the quietest periods are always the periods when something is said to us that has to do with accepting ourselves.
Yeah.
And every time I say something about we cool, we okay, we can accept us, it's all right to be where you are, that's when crowds always get the most silent.
Sure.
Because our whole premise is I'm broke and I need to be fixed. All of my life, I'm broke in some area and I need to be fixed. And then somebody walk up to you and say, you're not broken. Well, what am I going to do with the rest of this week? Because my life is about fixing me all the time. You know, all of the workshops and classes and books and all that stuff that we do is about remembering who we are. That's a beautiful thing to use your time to do. To use your time to remember is great. To use all your time to fix is an error. Because you're trying to fix yourself based on the belief that there's something wrong with you, and so something will always seem to be wrong with you for you to fix. And then you attract somebody who tells you what's wrong with you all the time. It's part of your plan. But then you wonder where that person came from that you're having this hard time getting along with. You attracted them so they could mirror back to you what you think about yourself, which is, there's something wrong with you, and you really need to change. Because on the inside of yourself, you're saying, there's something wrong with me, I really need to change. So I'm going to stop here. Would you acknowledge yourself for hearing this much with the Holy Spirit? So, Dr. Ernest, you come around me, I'm going to tell you that you're okay. I don't care what you feel about it. I'm not taking it anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know I have some misperceptions about myself, and I know I need to let go of those misperceptions, and I'm here because I want to let go of those misperceptions. Notice that letting go of a misperception is different from saying there's something fundamentally wrong with you that you need to fix. There's nothing wrong with you. You are totally sane, but you just learned insane lessons. That's different. It's different between being really crazy and being sane and learning something crazy.
That's good.
The Course in Miracles says we are very sane, loving, powerful beings. We just learned insane lessons from people who learned insane lessons. And then they pass it down to their children. And then what I found out is that we turn around and pass them down to ours.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of stuff I taught my children that I thought I wouldn't teach them if I had children. But I find myself falling into some of the same old programming that I was brought up with.
You do what you know.
Yeah.
Until you recognize, the Course says you will not stop doing something because it's wrong. But you will not stop doing something because it makes you feel guilty to do it. Because we all got stuff that we do that we feel guilty about, that we said we ought not do, and we go and do it again and again. So we know that feeling guilty about something does not stop you from doing it. I'm going to tell you now what will break a pattern. What will break a pattern is two things. First of all, looking at it. And not hiding it from yourself. And I forgot the other one. He can't go at it since 11 o'clock this morning, the poor guy.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay.
Can we can't wait to get out there to get some more stuff going, you know? Uh-huh. I know somebody.
That's how we keep from being bored when we're not true to ourselves, is to make our lives seem interesting when we don't love ourselves. We keep drama going so that we'll know we're alive.
So a fearful person needs drama to feel alive. A loving person needs joy and peace to feel alive. So if you're like a drama king and a drama queen, you're just afraid and you're just bored with your life. And so you got to do something to make it seem like there's something happening in your life when there's actually nothing.
Nothing
happening in your life. And that's a good thing, because we do have this other alternative. All right?
Yeah.
Now, the thought we're going to take is, the thought I want you to take out with you is that the present is your point of power. That no matter what you've gone through in the past, right now is where your power is, and you can change the way you perceive and therefore change your experience right now. And I'm going to go through this section. I'm going to continue with it next Sunday. So if you got the book, read it, because I want to take this slow. This, to me, is the one of the most incredible sections of the book. Wouldn't you agree that just the simple things we've heard today, it's like if you just were to walk out of here today and go, as soon as you get upset, go, I'm reacting to it. I'm giving this all the meaning it has for me. Lesson 2 in the workbook. I'm giving what they're saying all the meaning that it's having to me. That really brings you home to know it's your interpretation that's creating the feeling that you're having about this. You may not be able to change the feeling, but at least you're empowering yourself by knowing you're the one that's giving it the feeling. I have over 300 of my classes on my website available for download or listening to directly through your computer or downloading it. EarlPurdy.com. So if you want to remember, there's lots of stuff that you can remember. It's here, because it's all about remembering. Okay? So the present is the point of power. The present is my point of power.
It's my point of power. Oh, yeah.
Take a breath. I want you to do the unthinkable before you leave. I'd like you to tell somebody on each side of you, let peace extend from my mind to yours. Tell somebody that. Let peace extend from my mind to yours. One more person. Let peace extend from my mind. Because it's time for us to be the happy dreamers. I'm a happy dreamer. I believe in love. I'm a happy dreamer. So we understand for a minute. The present is my point of power. Would you say it with me? My present is my point of power. Don't be shy. My present is my point of power. One more time. My present is my point of power. My present is my point of power. Now you want to give your future to the hands of God or the hands of love, whichever word works best for you. You're going to give it up. You're going to give it up to your higher self today. So I say it like this. I place my future in the hands of God. I place my future in the hands of God. I place my future in the hands of God. Let's give ourselves what we want other people to give to us. One more time. Because we've got about hell. Oh. Plugs are available. And I got a mailing list up front if you want to sign the contact list. And we're going to have a great seminar. I love you. May the force be with you.